From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues a series on Paul's Epistle to the Colossians. This epistle sets forth the glorious person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ in a manner designed to increase the believer's love for the Savior and to provide guidance in living the Christian life. Prior to the message by Dr. Cairns, we'll hear a devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as well as some Christ-honoring sacred music. Our text for this morning is found in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 24. The Lord our God hath showed us his glory. God's great design in all his works is the manifestation of his own glory. Any aim less than this were unworthy of himself. But how shall the glory of God be manifested to such fallen creatures as we are? Man's eye is not single. He has ever a side glance towards his own honor, has too high an estimate of his own powers, and so is not qualified to behold the glory of the Lord. It is clear, then, that self must stand out of the way, that there may be room for God to be exalted. And this is the reason why he brings the people of God oft-times into straits and difficulties, that being made conscious of their own folly and weakness, they may be fitted to behold the majesty of God when he comes forth to work their deliverance. He whose life is one even and smooth path will see but little of the glory of the Lord, for he has few occasions of self-emptying, and hence but little fitness for being filled with the revelation of God. They who navigate little streams and shallow creeks know but little of the God of tempests, but they who do business in great waters, these see his wonders in the deep. Among the huge Atlantic waves of bereavement, poverty, temptation, and reproach, we learn the power of Jehovah, because we feel the littleness of man. Thank God, then, if you have been led by a rough road. It is this which has given you your experience of God's greatness and loving kindness. Your troubles have enriched you with a wealth of knowledge, to be gained by no other means. Your trials have been the cleft of the rock in which Jehovah has set you, as he did his servant Moses, that you might behold his glory as it passed by. Praise God that you have not been left to the darkness and ignorance which continued prosperity might have involved, but that in the great fight of affliction you have been capacitated for the outshinings of his glory in his wonderful dealings with you.
Oh,
Are you looking for guidance and help in your study of the Bible? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. As he continues a series of studies in the Epistle to the Colossians, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a two-part message entitled, A Faithful and a Fruitful Ministry. The text is chapter 1, verses 24 through 29, where the apostle sets forth the essence of the gospel ministry. In expounding the passage, Dr. Cairns explained the pattern of the Christian ministry. Christ is that pattern, and to be effective, a minister must treat his people as Christ would. Then there is the price of the ministry. Even a cursory reading of Paul's ministry reveals that he suffered greatly in his efforts to get the gospel to as many people as he could. He was willing to sacrifice himself for the church, the body of Christ. And now with today's message, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
The tendency among many ministers is to lay such emphasis on their preaching performance. Notice I said that way, not on the importance of the preached message just, but on their preaching performance, that they become isolated from the real world and from real people. I know a preacher, and he said this is a joke, by the way, because he's a very good pastor. Let me make that very clear. He is a very dedicated pastor. And the Lord has blessed him greatly in his ministry. But he said this is a joke. And it was highlighting, you know, humor sometimes can reveal something very serious. He said about the ministry, he said, this would be a great job if it weren't for the people. And that's very often the attitude that ministers have. I have more important things to do, so don't bother me. strong. Paul says, here's our pattern, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that sounds very good, does it not, that a minister should be that way? And Paul certainly sought to be that way, and I don't think any minister has ever succeeded to a higher level than the great apostle Paul in meeting that standard. And yet now in verse 24, he comes to speak of the price of such a ministry. He says, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Now, here's a unique expression. He says, I fill up the afflictions of Christ in my flesh. Or I fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake. Quite literally, what he's saying is, I complete the leftover sufferings of Christ. And the verb that's translated fill up, it appears only here, and it has a prefix to it that gives it a very, very important meaning. Literally, it indicates that Paul was looking on his own afflictions as in some way taking the place among God's people of the Lord Jesus Christ and taking the place of his suffering among his people. Now, obviously, he's not talking about the atoning sufferings of Christ. They are unique. That's why he uses the word afflictions, which means tribulations or troubles. In other words, he's referring to the burdens of life, not to the expiation of sin by death. Paul couldn't put away anybody's sin. Paul's preaching couldn't put away sin. Paul's distribution of the sacraments couldn't put away sin. Paul baptizing, Paul giving you the Lord's Supper, Paul's suffering couldn't put away sin. There is no sacramental office in the Church of Jesus Christ. Let's make that clear. Or should I say there's no, to give it its real terminology, no sacerdotal office. That's the Latin word for a priest. There's no priestly ministry as such in the Church of Christ. All God's saints are priests. That's one of the great doctrines of the Protestant Reformation, is it not? The priesthood of all believers. We all stand equally on the merits of Jesus Christ with equal access to God. You do not access God through me. You do not access God through any other mediator than through the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's not saying that his sufferings have anything to do with putting away sin. He's talking about the burdens of life, the afflictions of life. Now, in his life, the Lord Jesus suffered. And he suffered for the great purpose of the good of his church. He suffered preeminently in his body, but not exclusively in his natural body. As Paul learned when he was on the road to Damascus, the Lord Jesus suffered in his spiritual body, which is the church. You remember he said to him on the road to Damascus, "Why persecutest thou me?" He learned that day. Paul, or when he was Saul of Tarsus, was wounding the spiritual body of Christ. And Christ said, "You are persecuting me." So that the Lord Jesus continued to suffer in his spiritual body. And now, says Paul, since there is affliction, there is tribulation, there is trouble, there is all this suffering still going on in that body, what I'll call, says he, the leftover sufferings of Christ, I am happy as the need arises. And I say the word happy, for he says, I rejoice to do this. As the need arises, I rejoice to suffer, to bear affliction as the Savior did. for the good of his body. Do you remember that great prayer of Paul, and perhaps what we have read now in Colossians 1 will give it a new meaning? This is not just something mystical Paul is talking about. It's something very physical, very real. Philippians 3:9, he prayed that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Quite simply, Paul the Apostle, as a minister of the gospel, was willing to sacrifice his body for Christ's body, which is his church. Paul was willing to sacrifice himself for the body of Christ. There's a beautiful symmetry here. Now, it's not a true reciprocation. It's not an equality by any means, but there is a symmetry. Christ suffered in his body for me, says Paul, both body and soul, to save me from hell. Christ suffered in his body for me. I am happy to suffer in my body for him and for his body, which is his church. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10, remember, as he wrote these words, he's lying in the dark, dank, and deathly silence, as it was a silent place, except when he heard the footfall of his jailers, of the Mamertine prison's innermost dungeon. He's awaiting that fateful moment when he'll be taken out and his head will be laid on a block. It will be severed from his body with one ghastly stroke. And as he lies there, he says, therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. What a wonderful insight into the heart of a true servant of Christ. I don't want to take much time detailing what Paul had in mind as his afflictions and his sufferings. You should read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, two of the most autobiographical chapters that Paul ever penned, and get us an insight into the almost incredible and unceasing suffering of this mighty man of God. But he said, I suffer, for example, the care of all the churches. To Paul, this was a burden. He looked out there. He had seen church after church after church after church established. He'd seen people saved. He'd seen lives transformed. I think we so often miss the obvious when we read the New Testament. I love to quote to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11, because I think most people, including preachers, when they come to look at the Corinthian church, they zero in so much on the problems of the church. And it had its problems. It had awful problems. These were converted heathens, pagans, people who had been brought up in an atmosphere where their immorality, their adultery, their filthiness was raised to the level of religious devotion. That's the kind of thing they'd been brought up in. So we ought not to be altogether too shocked when we realize that they had growing pains. They had pains, but they were growing. When the Apostle Paul wrote to these people, he could go down a list of the most vicious and awful sins and say about these people are not saved. People who live like this are in their sin. They have no part in the kingdom of God. And by the way, many of those very same people today would be welcomed in most churches in America and are welcomed. I was reading a piece by the great, 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 none very great about her, mind you, but a great, great, great granddaughter of Jonathan Edwards, who was truly a great theologian and a great Christian and a great American, possibly the greatest intellect America has ever produced, its greatest philosopher, its greatest theologian, certainly its greatest revivalist. Jonathan Edwards lost his pulpit after revival because he wanted to keep the church pure from people who wanted wickedness, worldliness, and church membership at the same time. And the rich families of New England didn't agree with him. They'd rather damn their children under the cloak of empty religious profession than have Edwards' view of religion. Now his so many greats, I forget, three of them, I think, granddaughter, is using his name and using his ministry among the American Indians as an excuse for her promotion to permit practicing sodomites to be practicing ministers of the Presbyterian Church USA. And she uses Jonathan Edwards' name to tell us he did the equivalent. He said that the Indians were good and godly people, used nice language about them, at a time when other people called them savages. You know, if I were an Indian, I would be highly incensed at her so-called liberalism, which is a slap in the face to any American Indian, but we'll not go into that. All I'm saying to you is this, that Paul looked at these people and said, they're not, no matter how they want into the church, they can't be saved as long as they hang on to those sins. And he names sodomy particularly among them. But then he says, such were some of you. But what a difference. You're washed. You've been washed from all these sins. You're sanctified. You're set apart from all these sins.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.